Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyasa Puja means the worship of Vyas, or it can mean Vyasa's worship. We particularly celebrate this day as the worship of he who is the representative of Vyas. There is the annual festival Guru Purnima, which is also called Vyasa Purnima, the day on which Vyasadev appeared in this world. On that day, all Vedic sampradayas, all members of Vedic sampradayas, they worship their guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He established the system of celebrating Vyasa Puja on his own appearance day, the Vyasa Puja for himself. As Saraswati, he is Saraswati. Vyasa and Saraswati are intimately linked. Vyasa gives the knowledge of the Vedas, presents the Vedas, and Saraswati gives the inspiration. She is the principle by which Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita, not just the principle, but the agency by which spiritual knowledge is revealed within the heart. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katita hyartha prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both God and Guru, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed. So Saraswati does that. That is her service, Shuddha Saraswati, not the same Saraswati who presides over, or her expansion that is presides over apara vidya, or the mundane knowledge, and para vidya, spiritual knowledge, that is presided over by the spiritual, fully spiritual Saraswati. So this worship of Vyas is proper. In some religious systems, they insist only on worshipping the Supreme God and no one else. No one else should be worshipped. Muslims, they object. Once I was speaking with some Muslims, and one of my disciples came before me, and this is in India, and offer obeisance, and he immediately objected that this is not right. He should not offer. Only obeisance should be offered to Allah, to no one else. So the Vedic conception is different. Seeing God everywhere and in everything, one can offer respects even to the ant. One doesn't normally formally do so. But seeing God's presence everywhere, this is sometimes misunderstood by the Mayavadis, to think that everything is God. But there is a difference, seeing God's presence everywhere and in everything. So the Supreme, is Krishna, and he expands himself into various forms for various purposes. One of those forms is Vyas. He is called Vyas or Veda Vyas. Vyas means who divides. So he divides the Veda. He's known as Veda Vyas. He presents it. He edits it. He presents it in such a way that it is accessible to people in this Kali Yuga. Accessible means comprehensible. So why is Vyasa worshipped in this way? By worshipping one's guru. This is unusual. We worship Krishna on many days. We just worshipped on Janmashtami. There's a set way of worshipping him. And we celebrate various just like Rama Navami, Varaha Dwadashi, Vamana Dwadashi. So we celebrate. There's a set format, but this Vyasa, worshipping Vyasa is in a very different way that we worship our guru. Why in this particular way is Vyasa worshipped? Well, Vyasa is to be worshipped as the one who gave the bridge. He was the bridge preacher. He gave the bridge. The bridge is the Vedas, which gives the knowledge. Maya mugdha jiva nahi. Krishna swata gyan jiberi kripa koile Krishna Veda Puran. Krishna is Vyasa, seeing that all the jivas in this world are bewildered. They don't have the knowledge which is their inherent attribute. He compiled the Vedas and the Puranas. Mm. There's also in the Srimad Bhagavatam it said that anartho pashamang sakshat bhakti yoga madhoksa jay lokasya janato vidvangs chakre satvata sanghita. All the unwanted things of this world, all the extraneous matters, we can be relieved from that simply by the, immediately relieved, simply by the process of bhakti yoga. But people don't know. Therefore, the learned Vyasa compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Vyas gave this exposition of reality, the Vedas. So that is the special contribution. All of the avatars, they come, there are Leela avatars who come to present Leelas, and most of them give transcendental knowledge, almost all of them, in various ways. They also perform various pastimes. They all come for the purpose of dharma samsthapanartha, for the purpose of re-establishing dharma. But especially Vyas, he gives the knowledge that may be spoken by various avatars, but that is presented by Vyas for the people of Kali Yuga. Vyas comes at the end of Dwarpa Yuga. At the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, there's a Vyasa. So what Vyasa gives, it's not so very easy to understand, because one reason being that everyone in this material world is bewildered, and especially in Kali Yuga, people are especially bewildered. So Vyasa's contribution, the Vedic knowledge that's been interpreted by different philosophers in different ways, and mostly they've just taken their own philosophies and superimposed them on the Vedas without taking the actual spirit of it directly. Karnadi, he gave the Vaisheshika and Gautam, gave Nyaya, Patanjali gave Yoga, the atheistic Kapila gave Sankhya, and the theistic Kapila gave Sankhya, which culminates in Bhakti. Jaimini gave Mimamsa. So in different ways they have, these different philosophers have taken certain teachings of the Vedas and presented them as the essence of the Vedas. The Patanjali took yoga as the essence. The Jaimini, he took dharma. Atato dharma jignyasa. In the writings of the Mimamsa, the first statement, Jaimini, is now that we have attained, now we should inquire about dharma. There are many other philosophers also. Ashtavakra, Dattatreya spoke of impersonalism. I mean, Bhakti, Narada, and Shandilya, they gave bhakti. But Vyasa, apart from editing and presenting, compiling, editing, presenting the Vedas and the Puranas, he also compiled two books. He was the author of two books, the Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra, which again, they are eternal truths. So he presents in Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahman, the ultimate spiritual reality. And in Vedanta Sutra, he combated or showed the or defeated the wrong interpretations of the Vedas and established that Brahman is the actual subject of the Vedas. And several acharyas, they gave their further understanding of what Vyasa gave. What is Brahman? So Shankara, he was the first great acharya. He wasn't the first historically, but he was the first great acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu referred to him as an acharya. Many Vaishnavas, they don't accept that he's even an acharya because he taught the wrong thing, mostly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refers to him as acharya, so we do also. But acharya in the sense that he established a Vedic path that is done by precept must be there, a commentary on Vedanta, and by teaching that and by practice. So Shankara, he gave his commentary that Kevaladvaita, Brahman is Ekam Advaitiya, means there's only Brahman, there's nothing else. And then Ramanuja challenged that, and then Madhva further challenged it, and other Vaishnava Acharyas, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, the Vaishnava Acharyas, they established what Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita very easily without going into all the intricate complexities. Krishna simply establishes Vedaishya Sarvera Hameva Vedaha. In all the Vedas, I am that object of knowledge. I am the object of knowledge. Sarve Veda Yat Padam Amananti, that all the Vedas, they search after this point, and that point is Krishna. So, there are many acharyas. They give the essence of the Vedas based on what Vyasa says. Others, they may avoid Vyasa, but if we have to follow Vedanta Sutra. So the Guru gives the essence of that, because especially in the beginning, no one can understand all these things. And in fact, Vedanta Sutra itself is Vedanta, which means the Upanishads, and the commentary on that, Vedanta Sutra, is very difficult to understand for common people in the modern age. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru told him, the most unlikely person to tell this, that Murkha tumi tomar nahik Vedanta dika. You're a fool, you have no qualification to study Vedanta. He's saying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Vedanta Krit, Vedavit. He is the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. But to demonstrate the principle that in Kali Yuga people are just too, most people are too dull-headed for all these things, and they tend to miss, if at all they attempt to understand it, they misunderstand it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwarapuri told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have no qualification to understand Vedanta, so just chant Hare Krishna. So it's understood that especially in the beginning, people can't understand. So the guru, he should take the essence of that knowledge and present it. In the beginning, everyone can't understand. Systematic education should be there. But in the beginning, people should just be given the essence. So the guru should, apart from being learned, he should understand what the essence of that knowledge is. The terms pandit and guru are not necessarily synonymous. So one who knows the essence, gives the essence, what Vyasa really, what he really wanted to communicate. Vyasa, his real task was to give Krishna consciousness, knowledge of Krishna. But he got distracted by bridge preaching. With writing all these Puranas and about yoga and going to the heavenly planets, getting Sri Aishwarya Prajapsavam, this becoming enamored by materialistic women is the proper definition of stri. Or it can mean spiritual, who expands a spiritual propensities also. We also have Vrajastrinam, the women of Vrindavan. They're not materialistic. So mundane women, mundane opulence, family, society, friendship and love. So Vyasa, he got diverted by all this stuff that give people something that they can relate to and just give a little bit of Krishna here and there. So Vyasa did that in compiling the Vedas and the Puranas, and he had compiled the Vedanta Sutra and the Mahabharata, but still it was, his guru told him, it's not clear. After doing all of that, he should have been satisfied, but he was feeling dissatisfied. And Narada came to him and said, the reason is because you haven't clearly given the essence. You've been so busy with all this bridge preaching and you forgot to, you just built a bridge, but you didn't complete it, you didn't give the destination. It's just a bridge going nowhere, not very clear where you're supposed to go. Choose your bridge. Jato mat, tato pat. So, of course, that was Vyasa's job to do that. He's supposed to do that, but without giving Srimad Bhagavatam, it was all incomplete and imperfect. And without giving that knowledge, it's all meaningless. And even if he hadn't given all that knowledge, all that other extraneous knowledge, then even if he'd given Srimad Bhagavatam itself, that would have been enough, in one sense. So, the guru is glorified because he gives the knowledge that Vyasa gave. We glorify gurus in the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya because they gave knowledge of Krishna, not because they gave knowledge of karma, jnana, or yoga, or anything else. So, that on Vyasa Purnima, Guru Purnima, the gurus, they're all glorified, and they can all be glorified in the same way, because they all do this, if they all should be doing the same thing. If they're not doing what, if they're not giving the message of Vyas, then they're not a guru. And they shouldn't be glorified. So every guru should be glorified. Guru means who gives the message of Vyas as received in parampara. And in that sense, even a damn fool like me can be a guru. I'm quoting here Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that about himself, which I'm so in his humility. Srila Prabhupada said, anyone can become a guru. You just repeat the message. So, anyone who gives that essence of spiritual knowledge, which is Krishna, surrender to Krishna, if he gives that to even one person, then he's glorious. The guru's position is far greater than any prime minister or business magnate or Nobel laureate. Guru may be some not very well-known person, just to external vision like a very ordinary person. But if they take knowledge properly from their guru, knowledge of Krishna, and give that even to one person, then they're glorious. Even if in the estimation of the world, they're just very ordinary people. And such a guru is, the guru who gives actual spiritual knowledge is more important than any other kind of guru. One who gives material knowledge in one sense may be considered a guru. One who teaches how to play musical instruments may be considered a guru. The mother and father, they are gurus. The first guru, Shastra states, is the mother. But the one who gives spiritual knowledge of the truth of who we are, who is God, what is our relationship, how to approach, that person is of far more importance, because prati janme janme shabe mata pita pai Krishna guru nahe mele bhaja hohe hai. In every birth, we get a father and a mother. In a dog birth, we get a dog father and mother. In a cat birth, we get a cat father and a mother. But most jivas in this world don't get guru. So if we do, we should understand the importance of that and worship in our heart. Bhaja hohiyai. So who gives that knowledge is glorious. So every guru is to be glorified, but at the same time, even though there have been many thousands of gurus in the world, and Srila Prabhupada said there should be again thousands of gurus in the world. He said every neighborhood should have a guru. Not that you can just like the kings used to knight someone by putting a sword on their shoulder and said, now your name is Sir So-and-so. So it's not all in the traditional system. A boy born in a Brahmin family is given a thread, but it's not just by giving a thread that they become a Brahmin. So you can appoint someone as a guru, but it's qualification should be there, training. The boy is given a thread, but he has to be trained. Then he can actually be a brahmana. So in the same way, guru, you just can't rubber stamp. They have to actually have that quality. So there have been many thousands of gurus, bona fide gurus in the world who have given spiritual knowledge.